Everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on You Can Beat City Hall when we come back. You know, if you earn $50,000 a year and you pay all of your 14 taxes, you get to keep 41% of what you create and produce. Government gets 59%. That's $20,000 for you and $30,000 for the government. Well, isn't that just real special? Now, if you think your share isn't enough, then why don't you work twice as hard and produce twice as much and make $100,000 next year? Then go ahead and pay your same 14 taxes just like you did this year. And you're going to net 24% and the government's going to net 76%. What that means is that for working twice as hard and producing twice as much, you get $4,000 more. You get 8% more net take-home pay than you did this year. You put out 100% more and get 8% of it to keep. That's why I contend that there ought to be something more intelligent for you and I to do than to work to put ourselves into the top 5% of income earners, because that's where you're at. The top 5% of income earners at $100,000 a year, and then only net 24% of it? Why don't you call today and order my free 4-hour CD package, and let me tell you how to deal with that kind of crime. It's 4 hours of entertaining information, and it'll answer many of your legal questions about taxes and why it is we're paying so much and receiving so little. And let me teach you how to do just that in my Tax and Status School, which is available now on compact disc for adult home study. To order your free general CD package, just call direct, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967, or you can go to the website, georgegordon.org. Click onto the email. Send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or you can call direct, 417-273-4967. Well, we've been talking about this thing of beating City Hall, and the number or numerous things that you can do to beat City Hall. But you know, sometimes it isn't what you do, it's what you don't do. What you don't do that beats City Hall. And that's because if you're like I was, you were born into a ready-made society. Think about it. You were born and you were raised up, and one day you kind of looked around and you said, well, who's that guy? That's Daddy. And that's Mommy. And Mommy and Daddy, they sent you off to public school. And on your first day of public school, you said, well, who's that? Oh, that's the teacher. That's the teacher. And as you went through the school system, you learned about teachers and classmates and principals and bureaucracy, and you got to the end of your high school career, and somebody said, college. And so you went off to college, and you looked around one day, and you wondered who that was. Professor. And the professor, he filled your brain with all kinds of things, and you got to looking around, and one day somebody said, job. And so you went off to the corporate world to get a job, and one day you looked around and you said, who's that? That's the boss. Now, you're working in this corporation, and you've got a boss, and they're paying you $50,000 or $100,000 a year, and you're driving a new car, and you're living in a new house, and you got a new wife, and you got all these new kids, and every week you get paid, but they're agreeing to pay you $20 an hour, but you don't get paid $20 an hour. You ever notice that? And you went in and you negotiated a deal, and they said, we'll pay you $20 an hour, but you didn't get $20 an hour. You got a paycheck at the end of the week, and instead of having, $800, it's only got $600. Well, what happened to the $200 in your paycheck? And you looked around one day, and somebody said, taxes. Yeah, you got to pay these taxes. So naturally, it's incumbent upon all of us that when we work, we want to make the most dollars possible and pay the least amount of taxes that's acceptable. Primarily, I would like to work for $20 an hour and get paid $800 at the end of the week for my 40 hours. I don't want to pay any taxes at all. None. Zero. Zilch. Now, there was a time in America when we worked and we didn't pay any tax. There was a time. And then somebody woke up one day and said, hey, we got to have an income tax system. And that was all done long before you and I were born. You see, we were already born into a ready-made society. Income tax was already here. College was already here. School was already here. Mom and Dad was already here. Everything that you know of today was already here. And when it was time to go to school, somebody took you to school and said, this is school, that's the teacher, this is the thing to do. When you got out of high school, somebody said, college is the next thing to do, and you went to college. When you got out of college, somebody said, work for the corporation, that's the thing to do, and that's what you did. So your life has been pretty well programmed out for you. And the tax structure, how much tax should you pay? It's already been determined for you. The Congress, the legislature, the city council, whatever it was, they decided how much money you should pay. Nobody consulted you and said, how much would you like to donate for the support of government? Now, the Red Cross says, please give, and please give generously for the Women's Relief Fund of Nigeria or whatever it is that they're raising money for. And if you want to give a buck, you give a buck. And if you want to give $100, you give $100. It's a choice that you make, but not taxes. Now, if you're like I was, you have a Social Security number. I don't have one any longer. I used to have one. That was before I could count. And then I got a Social Security number because it was the thing to do. I wanted to deliver newspapers for the Humboldt Standard, and to do that, Wayne Davenport, the route manager, came out, talked to my dad, and asked my dad, does that boy have a Social Security number? And no, he doesn't. Well, you can't deliver newspapers without one. So I went down and got one. And I had to pass all the tests, and I'd have all the right whistles and bells. It was kind of like bar mitzvah, though. It signaled my entrance or arrival into the workplace. I'm a man now. I'm an adult. I work. I earn money. That's something. As Marlon Brando said, now I'm a somebody. I could have been somebody. Remember that? On the waterfront. I could have been somebody. Well, no, I was somebody. I was making money, delivering papers. And I paid my Social Security taxes, and I paid my income taxes. And in the early days, it didn't take very much. You know, and they weren't taking 30, 40, 50, 70%. They were taking about 10% or something like that, and it was no big deal. You could get by with that. Social Security payments were $80 a year. Multiply that times 10, it would be about $800 a year today. But today, if you're making 20 bucks an hour, they're taking $5,600 a year, not 800. They're taking 5,600. And as you look at the numbers, they're shocking, because the tax and Social Security has grown geometrically. Today, if you're earning the maximum amount, $79,000, $80,000 a year, and paying the maximum amount of tax then, you're paying in $11,658 a year into Social Security every year, year after year. Now, if you're a high-income earner, doctor, dentist, lawyer, something like that, making 100 grand a year, which is common for professionals, you're paying in 12,000 bucks a year, just rounded off, times 45 years, and you're going to pay in $540,000. That's a $500,000, you know, round numbers, $500,000. You're going to retire at age 65, and you're going to die at age 75, so you're going to draw 120 payroll checks, 120 Social Security checks. So if you had 540,000 divided by 120, your monthly check should be $4,500 a month for the last 10 years of your life. But Social Security isn't going to pay you $4,500 a month. They're going to pay you $1,200 a month. So they're going to pay you $1,200 a month times 120 months, which is $144,000. So you're going to pay in $540,000 and draw out $140,000. So you're going to pay in $400,000, $400,000 more than you're going to draw out. Is that fair? Is that right? Is that correct? Put another way, do you need to pay some guy $500,000 to write you 120 checks? Could you manage that $540,000 all by yourself? Well, government today believes you can, and they tell you that you should through your IRA or your retirement program, your 401k. In fact, I was watching Frontline the other day, and they had a reporter, and he was interviewing this investment counselor. And the investment counselor was advising this production line worker. And this lady, the production line worker, who was in the credit counselor's office to get advice and information about how to invest her money in her 401k so that it will grow, so that when she retires, she will have money in her account to carry her through her old age. She walks out of the room, and the reporter asks the credit counselor, he said, would you hire that woman to manage your retirement portfolio? And he said, of course not. That woman is ignorant. That woman is stupid. That woman is dumb. And the reporter said, well, you just advised her to manage her own retirement portfolio. What makes you think that she's competent to handle her own retirement portfolio when you say you wouldn't have her touch your retirement portfolio with a 10-foot pole? You know, boys and girls, if you stop and think about it, you're probably not very competent, not very capable of managing $500,000. As is evidenced by the fact that you don't have $500,000. Now, the person who has $500,000 is probably pretty competent and probably pretty capable of managing the $500,000, because the guy that earns it, creates it, produces it, can probably manage it. But I've never seen anybody come into any money in an inheritance or a lottery and then successfully managed the money. There was a guy named Rodney King. He was damaged by the police. He sued, collected $3 million, and in 5 years, he was flat broke. Flat broke, 3 or 5 years, 5 years to make a month. Now, let's take a look at Social Security by the numbers. You know, if you're earning the minimum wage, working at McDonald's, getting paid $5.15 an hour, you work 40 hours a week, 50 weeks a year for 45 years, with the current Social Security tax rate of 16%, you're going to pay in about $1,770 a year in payroll withholding taxes. So I might point out that your employer pays in, I don't know, I think it's 9%, and you pay in about 7%. Total is 16.1%. I also want to point out that you earn, create, and produce the whole 16%. That's right, you. You produce and create the entire 16%. So your employer makes a deduction, and then he makes a deduction, and he prices in to the hourly wage that he pays you and the hourly charge that he charges the customer who comes into your shop. Your employer doesn't pay any of that Social Security. You pay it all, every damn dime. And you're going to pay in $1,770 for flipping these burgers for 45 years. If you had taken the same amount of money, and if you invested that $1,770 a year in U.S. savings bonds, which have a rate of 5% compounded annually on the average, starting in the year 2000 and continuing through 2045, you'd have a principal balance of $282,726.71, a little over a quarter of $1 million. That quarter of $1 million at 5% interest would yield $14,136.34 a year, about $14,000 a year, a little over $1,000 a month, forever. In fact, it's $1,178.03 a month forever. Quarter of $1 million at 5% interest yields nearly $1,200 a month forever. And when you died, and I want to underline the $1,178, because you guys that are lawyers and bankers and doctors and dentists, you see, when you retire on Social Security, you're going to get $1,200 a month. $1,200. You're going to pay in $500,000 and get $1,200 a month. Now, isn't that just real special? As if you professional people, doctors, lawyers, and insurance agents and real estate brokers, honest to God, do you need a guardian to take your money, save it for you for 45 years, and then dish it out to you like a little kid getting a dime to go get an ice cream cone? You know, I remember when I was a little kid, about 5 years old, you know, my granny would give me a dime and I could go down to the ice cream store and put it on the counter and they give me a double-decker strawberry ice cream cone. 10 cents, double-decker ice cream cone. My granny couldn't give me a dollar and expect me to go down to the store and spend 10 cents every day for 10 days. I couldn't handle a whole dollar, but I could handle 10 cents at a time dished out to me or doled out to me, 10 cents a day. I could do that. So in effect, what government's saying to you professional people is that, you know, we can't give you $500,000. I mean, you can't handle that, but we can give you $1,200 a month. Furthermore, if you've got $500,000 in your account and you live longer, you know, like 200 or 300 years old, it would pay you forever. On the other hand, if you die next year and you don't collect your full $500,000, they keep the balance. Did you know that? It's a Tontine wagering policy where the winner keeps all. Now, there's a contract involved, but I just wanted to point out that a minimum wage earner at McDonald's could make the same $1,200 a month if he invested it in a 5% annuity, and you can do that at any insurance company. Now, you can do that, not anymore, but, you know, it's coming up to that, but pretty close to that in a passbook savings account. Now, when you die, you know, you got this quarter of $1 million. When you died, you'd still have $282,726 to pass on to your children as an inheritance. And please note that for the purposes of simplicity, I'm leaving out inflation as a factor, since the cost of living adjustments are designed to keep inflation's effects to a minimum. For example, if inflation is 3%, your check goes up 3%. And since the rate on bonds or bank accounts is generally higher than inflation, those totals would also go up. Thus, by leaving inflation out of the picture, we get an equally clear picture of the relative financial status without the need of doing a lot of unnecessary math. Now, Social Security is going to take your $1,770 per year for 45 years, and that totals $79,666. And when you stop paying in and you start drawing out at age 65, then you're entitled to $500 a month. So let's run that one by me again, or let me run this one by you again. At current law, or in current law, you get $500 a month for 120 months. Now, remember, you pay it in. You're paying in $1,770 a year for 45 years. How much is that? 1770 times 45. $79,650. So when you stop paying in and you start drawing out, you're entitled to $500 a month, and on average, you're going to die at age 75. So you're going to be drawing about $60,000, and Social Security is going to charge you about $20,000 to administer this fund for you. That's about 25%. And this is assuming that the amount that they charge you per month and the amount that you're paid per month go up at the same rate. It's a condition which is increasingly unlikely to be met. Now, no insurance company or pension fund could take your money and then pay you back anything less than what you paid into. But Social Security is the only outfit that is allowed to pay you back $2 out of every $3 that you pay, and this is for those who only earn minimum wage. It gets worse if you earn more. Now, if you invested your money in an insurance company at 5% interest, you'd get $250,000, which would pay you $1,200 a month, more than double what you're going to get from Social Security. Now, if you can learn to do the math, you can beat City Hall. But as long as you stay in the Social Security system, the system is going to eat your lunch. For me to say that it's a bad investment is an understatement, and yet Social Security is called the third rail of politics. President Bush said, let's get into Social Security and let's change it. Boys and girls, I don't want to change Social Security. I don't want anything to do with it. I want out. Leave me alone. So in 1984, I dropped out of Social Security, and I was paying in the maximum amount then, and had I continued to pay in the maximum amount, I would have paid in an additional $141,000. I paid in $12,000 and some change up through 78. And then in 84, I opted out, and then I would have paid in another $141,000. That would have been a total of $153,000. And I called up Social Security when I did this little math exercise, and I said, well, how much am I going to get back? And they said $805 a month. Well, let's take 805 times 120. They were going to give me back $96,600. Okay, now, I opted out back in 84, and that was 22 years ago. They got $12,000 of my money from 1950 to 1978. I didn't pay into it from 78 to 84. Then I opted out of it from 1984 until 2006. Now I'm 67. I'm still working full time. I did not retire. I'm not going to retire. I'm just going to keep right on working. I haven't paid anything into Social Security since 1980 or since 78. Don't intend to in the future. I don't intend to draw any benefits. I don't want anything from Social Security. I don't want to pay anything into Social Security. I don't want anything to do with Social Security at all. Zero. Nothing. It's my choice. Now, the amount of money that I would have paid in from 1978 until today would have been $141,000. I'm not going to tell you what I did with the $141,000, but I will tell you this. I'm well pleased with the results that I received by managing my own $141,000. And it pays me back much more than the $800 a month that they offered me or that I would be entitled to. Now, get this. And if I pay in $150,000, they'll give me back $100. They're going to charge me approximately $50,000 to write me 120 checks. Let's plug in $50,000 and divide that by 120 checks. They're going to charge me $416 per check to issue a check and send it to me like my grandmother, giving me 10 cents a day to go buy an ice cream cone. Now, I figured that if you gave me a dollar, I could manage the whole dollar for 10 days. I'm that skilled with money. I'm so skilled, I'm so well trained in the use of money that I can manage my own. I don't need any help from a bureaucrat, from Social Security or the IRS or from the government. I don't need anybody to protect and serve me. Nobody. Zero. Zilch. In fact, I just want you to get out of my life and leave me alone. I'll do very well all by myself. And that's at the minimum wage. Minimum wage. Just take a look now at the next step up. You know, President Bush wants to give low-income workers a 2% rebate on Social Security taxes. Remember he was talking about that? That 20% cut that he keeps talking about is 20% of the money that you pay in. Now, the money that your employer pays in doesn't count, so you can invest in your own retirement. Now, that means that you'll have about $177 a year to invest out of your $1,770 a year, you McDonald burger flipper. If the president got his way, he'd give you 2% of that so that you can invest it yourself. Well, isn't that a big, big deal? So let me recommend to you that you take your $177 and buy 177 lottery tickets. Because the amount of money that you'd win on average at Powerball or Pick 3 can't be any worse than what the average unsophisticated investor is going to make in the stock market or the bond market or commodities market. And I almost forgot that this cut in what you pay in will necessitate a cut in what you take out, say a 10% or better cut in the payouts, which means that in order to get your $177 a year in money to invest, you have to give up $600 a year in Social Security benefit checks. So you better hope that your lucky number comes in. Now, people in general rejected George Bush's changing of Social Security, and with good reason. The changes that were being proposed were worse than the investment program that you've already got. And the investment program that you already have is a ripoff. It is a theft of your money of unimagined proportions. In fact, I have never seen any investment portfolio anywhere that could match the poor performance of Social Security. I have never heard of anybody that paid in so much and received so little as the Social Security program. I don't know of any investment program that you can invest in that can pay you a poorer dividend than Social Security. And if there is one that's poorer, let me know what it is, would you? Now, let's suppose that you're a middle-income worker. You're a blue-collar worker, and let's say that you're making about $35,000 a year, a little below the median average. That's $41,000 or $2,000 a year, but you know, your average Joe Sixpack. And if you use the above formula, you're going to be paying in approximately $5,600 a year in payroll taxes and withholding taxes. Remember, the 16% is half from you and half from your employer in round numbers, who won't be paying you as much as he would otherwise be paying you to make up for all the money that he has to send in your name to the feds. So take a look at the amount of self-employed person, or the amount that a self-employed person has to pay. That's 15%. And you'll see that it's double what a non-self-employed person pays. So for you truck drivers, you make $35,000 a year. You pay in $5,600 a year in Social Security taxes. About half of that comes out of your pocket directly, and the other half comes out of your pocket because that's money that your employer isn't paying you, that he has to pay over to Social Security. It amounts to 16% of your paycheck every week. So your employer, he simply adds that into the cost of doing business. If he's paying you $10 an hour, he charges $25 shop rate. $10 for you, less your deductions, $10 for the boss, no deductions, and $5 for overhead and payroll taxes. There's the $25. The customer pays the $25, you get 10, your employer gets 10, he takes your payroll deductions out of your half. He takes his payroll deductions for your half out of the other $5, which is called overhead. That's why I told you, employers don't pay tax. Just employees pay tax, employees and customers. Now, take a look at the amount that a self-employed person has to pay, 15.3%. You'll see that it's double what a non-self-employed person pays. When you invest in U.S. savings bonds at 5%, this means that over a 45-year period, you'll end up with a principal balance of $894,000. You know, you're pushing $900,000. That's nine-tenths of $1 million, which would yield you $44,716 a year. That's $3,726.34 a month forever. And you'd still have that $894,000 to leave to your children. If you took your money and put it in a passbook savings account, if you gave it to an insurance company in an annuity, at the end of a period of time, you'd have $890,000 in the bank. And that $890,000 would be paying you $44,000 a year, or about $4,000 a month, round number, $4,000 a month. Now, what is Social Security going to pay you? Well, under Social Security, the $5,600 a year over 45 years comes to $252,000. So you're going to pay $250,000 in, and when you retire at age 65, you're eligible for payments of $804 a month for a total of $96,480. So if you live to be the average 75, now you just paid $252,000, and you're going to get back $96,000. This means that the government is giving you back 38 cents on the dollar. As I said before, you know, the more you make, the worse Social Security looks. So for every dollar you pay in, Social Security gives you back 38 cents. So they're going to charge you 62 cents to send you that 38 cents. Do you really need that? Are you so dumb, so incompetent, so ignorant that you can't manage your own money? Now, your government wants you to manage your own retirement in your 401k. Why can't you manage the money in your Social Security account? I mean, if you can earn this money, if you can create this money, if you can generate this money, how come you can't have it, can't keep it, can't invest it, can't manage it, and then have the ultimate say-so over it? Why is a government bureaucrat trained in college working for the Social Security Administration better able, more competent to manage your money than you are? He didn't earn any of it. He didn't create any of it. He didn't generate any of it. But he's going to manage it for you for 45 years. Now, I'm not opposed to Social Security, you know. There's probably a lot of people out there that need Social Security. Many people are probably that incompetent, but I'm not one of them. I took my $141,000 and I invested it, and I'm well pleased with the results that came from it. It so far outproduces anything that Social Security was going to give me as to make Social Security a sick joke. Sick joke. I can't imagine anybody with average intelligence who puts his mind to the paper and his pencil to the paper who could not invest his money and do better than Social Security. You would have to be mentally retarded to do poorer than Social Security. There's probably a lot of mental retards. I used to be one of those mentally retarded people. I paid into Social Security from 1950 to 78. That was 28 years. 28 years I paid into it. Hey, let me give you a reminder here at the halfway point. I'm talking about Social Security, and you can beat City Hall. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives. It can be accessed to the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Please be sure to order yours by calling the law school direct at 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, remember the website, georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, let's take a look at the other half of Social Security. If you're making $35,000 a year, paying in $5,600 a year in Social Security taxes at the 16.1% rate. Now, Social Security will pay you $1,150 a month for being such a generous donor to the program. That's assuming, of course, that you're a rich fellow. Remember I said $1,200 a month if you're in the top or the maximum? Well, let me reiterate, if you're at the low end, you get $500 a month. If you're in the middle, Joe Sixpack, about $35,000 a year, you get $800 a month. And if you're a rich guy, lawyer, and you're paying in the maximum amount, you're going to get $1,100 a month, $1,150 a month. We'll round it off to $1,200 a month for the rest of your life. That's 120 payments. Now, somebody's going to say to me, well, yeah, but you know, a lot of people live to be 85. Okay. What if you live to be 85? Be 20 years. You get twice as much. But it still isn't what you paid in. It's not as bad, but it's not good. What would be wrong for you retirees to get paid 100 cents on the dollar? What would be so bad about you getting everything that you paid in, even if you didn't get paid a dime's worth of interest, if you just got back your principal, for crying out loud? You're not even going to get back what you paid in, much less any interest, any gains. And remember that Social Security is going to take $5,600 from you for 45 years. That comes to $252,000. You retired at age 65. You're eligible for payments of $804 a month. So you're going to get paid back $100,000 for the $250,000 that you paid in. And under the Bush program, if you got your kickback, you'd end up with $560 a year to invest. Well, this is better than before and can allow you to set aside a nest egg of approximately $89,000 when you retire. If you invested that money at 5% compound interest, you'd still be over $66,000 down from what you paid in or were made to invest. And remember that 10%, that 10% cut in your Social Security check, well, that means you get $9,648 less from the government over a 10-year period, and it raises your shortfall to about $75,000. So the chances of you being able to raise the average return from 5% over a 45-year period to 10% a year over that same period, especially if you're untrained, driving a truck, or working in an office, your chances of making a 10% return for 45 years is just close to zero. So while Bush's plan makes things better, it's a matter of moving it from catastrophic to merely disastrous. So from a catastrophe to a disaster is what you're improving it to. Wouldn't it be a little better if you could invest your money and get all of the interest and all of the principal that you earn and that you paid in? Wouldn't it be real neat if you could depend upon the money that you're earning today to be worth at least as much 45 years from now as it's worth today with zero inflation? You know, you can do that with gold and silver coin. You know, our founding fathers created what was called the Coinage Act of 1792. From 1792 to approximately 1933, there was zero inflation. Zero inflation. In fact, from 1865 to 1900, in that 35-year period, there was a 2% deflation at the same time that we created more infrastructure in that 35-year period than any 35-year period before since. So the idea that you need the Keynesian theory of pump priming is preposterous poppycock. And that's the kindest thing you can say about it. Preposterous poppycock. Now, if you're a professional person, and I'm going to use the word professional, there's a lot of people that make $100,000 a year or more that never went to college. But as a general rule, when we look upon the professionals, and these are the people, the doctors, the dentists, the real estate brokers, and so on, that are making the $100,000, $200,000 a year, then if you're a professional and if you're making that kind of money, then you're making the $76,200 a year that puts you into the $12,000 a year bracket. So by the time you reach retirement age, you're going to pay in $524,637. So at the maximum rate, $76,200 a year, paying 15.3%, you pay out $11,658.60. Now, here's the round numbers. You're gonna make $80,000 a year or more. You're gonna pay in $12,000 a year for 45 years. You're gonna pay in a little better than $500,000. If you invested that same amount of money in U.S. savings bonds at 5% interest over the same 45-year period, you'd have a principal balance of $1.8 million and a yield of $93,000 a year or $7,700 a month forever, and you'd still be leaving your children $1.8 million when you died. Now, I think that's what government and people have in mind when they invest in their 401k or their Kroger plans, etc. But they invest their money in things, you know, they use this fiat paper currency and they invest it in fiat stocks. Now, I happen to take a look at the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And if you get on the web, you can get the Dow Jones Industrial Average with the names of all the 30 companies that are on it. And the last time I looked, which was last July, there were three profitable companies: General Electric, General Motors, Microsoft, and Walmart. Four profitable companies. Out of the four profitable companies, two companies, Walmart and Microsoft, which were the most profitable, were not paying any dividends. Only General Electric and General Motors were paying dividends. General Motors is on the verge of bankruptcy, by the way. The other 26 Dow Jones blue chip stocks were losing money. That's right. Now, they keep telling us we want to invest in the stock market for the long haul. Boys and girls, I'm married to a woman, and my wife wouldn't get out of bed for the peanuts that's being offered by the, and remember, she's just a girl. Can you imagine what you fellas could be making over here? I mean, my wife is just a girl, and she makes more money than anybody investing in the Dow Jones. There's no money in that. That's just more preposterous poppycock. And the president wants you to invest your money in the stock market? Well, it was a good thing you rejected that idea, because that's a catastrophic result coming from that. What you're investing in right now is just disastrous, but it's not catastrophic. The president is proposing a catastrophic solution. That was my conclusion. Now, of course, I didn't go to accounting school, and I didn't get a college degree, and I obviously can't be very smart because I don't have any letters after my name. But boys and girls, I didn't invest in Social Security, and I made at least double the $141,000. I won't tell you how much I made. I'm just telling you at least double. My wife makes more money than just buying and selling and trading. Makes more money just buying, selling, and trading as a common girl, just an ordinary run-of-the-mill, everyday garden variety girl, baking brownies. Makes more money than Social Security would pay her if she was getting paid $1,200 a month from Social Security. If she had been paying in all these years, she was smarter than I was. She never paid in anything to Social Security. Well, I paid in for 28 years and got nothing back from it. Fortunately, I dropped out before I gave them another $141,000. But my wife paid in nothing, and she makes more than the maximum. If you guys are on Social Security, if you made $1 million a year for 45 years, paid in the maximum amount, and are drawn out the maximum today, my wife spends more on antiques than you're getting from Social Security today. $1,200 a month wouldn't keep my wife in antique money. That's how poor Social Security is. It isn't how rich my wife is. It's how poor Social Security is. Now, Social Security is going to pay you $1,150 a month, all of you big-time spenders, you know, working for the man, the big corporation, and for being such a generous donor to their program. This means that if you live to be an average 75 years old, you're going to collect $138,000. Now, remember, you just finished paying in $500,000, and if you thought the low-income worker who got back 66 cents on the dollar or the middle-income worker who got back 38 cents on the dollar were bad, then you'll only be getting back 26 cents on the dollar. As I said at the beginning, the more you make, the worse Social Security looks. Now, think of this. You lawyers out there, you're working for this law firm, they're paying into Social Security for you, you're making $100,000 a year, you're paying in $500,000, and they're going to give you back $138,000. For every dollar that you pay in, you're going to get 26 cents back. Honest to God, kids, do you mean to tell me that you're so incompetent that if I gave you a dollar, you couldn't spend a quarter 4 days in a row? You couldn't manage a whole dollar for 4 days? Now, somehow the government expects you to manage your 401ks by investing that money into such things as General Motors and stocks and bonds and various things like that, which pay no money back anyway. And this is without ever counting in any inflation, which is running at 10 to 12% a year right now as I speak in May of 2006. 10% is the inflation rate. The government lies to you and says it's about 5, I think the last number, the official number I got for April, 5.6. And they don't even count housing prices, gold and silver, or gasoline. That is not in the inflation index. So if you're living under a bridge and you don't drive a car, it's probably pretty close to accurate, because if you live under a bridge and don't drive a car, you're probably not buying any gold. You leave those three factors out of the inflation index, and yeah, I guess it is about 5.6%. But when you put those three in, along with about 30 more that they conveniently leave out, and then don't tell you what the report on M3 production is, I guess 5.6% sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Now, going to the proposed Bush plan, you rich people out there making $100,000 a year, you'll be able to invest about $1,160 a year, and you can build up a nest egg of $186,000 if you invested 5% compounded annually with the likely cutback of 10% in your Social Security check. You'll lose $13,800 in government payoffs, so your loss will only be $214,000 instead of $386,000. So while a person making such large sums of money is somewhat less likely to have financial training or access to someone who does, the odds of raising your annual yield from 5 to 10%, which is needed to even make you break even, without calculating anything for inflation, with what your losses are under Social Security, it's almost impossible. I don't say that it is impossible. I'm just saying it's almost impossible. Now, I can make a little bit more than 5 or 10% a year. In fact, I teach a business school here, and I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. I wouldn't get out of bed for a 10% gain. If you said to me, buy this house for $100,000 and next year sell it for $110,000 and make 10% on your money, I'd laugh at you. Laugh at you. That's nonsense. And yet, you investor types out there, if you invest in stocks and bonds, or Kroger's or whatever you're investing in, and you make 10% a year, you people think that that's the greatest thing since sliced white bread. Well, okay. Don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. But I learned from my wife, and my wife has a very, very simple methodology for earning money. It's just geometric. You know, listen to this. She works on what's called the 2% principle. Write that down, you little Mogambo gurus. That's the 2% principle. She buys something for a dollar, and then she sells it for $2. And then she makes it on that 2% profit. Say from $1 to $2, 2%. Tuck that one away in your heart. She's on the phone one day talking to a Jewish fella, and he trying to sell her something. I forgot how this is coming down, but anyway, she reported to me that this Jewish guy was kind of excited about selling to her, and she said, well, that's a little bit too high finance for me. I just work on a 2% principle. And he said, well, what do you mean by that? And she said, well, I buy it for a dollar, sell it for two. And I just make it on that 2%, and he just got real excited. He says, oh, no, lady, that's a 50% profit. It's 100% markup. It's a keystone, and they call it in the trade, keystone. My wife said, well, whatever you call it, but I just call it 2%. Now, if you could buy a house for $100,000 and turn that house next year for $200,000, that makes sense. I can see buying a house for $100,000, putting $20,000 or $30,000 into it and fixing it up and selling it for $180,000, $190,000, $200,000 and making $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 in 90 days, you know, by rebuilding the house. I can see some logic in that. But boys and girls, honest to God, I can't see any logic in taking $10,000 and buying Microsoft or Walmart stock. Walmart gets the money, and then they're going to invest that in, oh, building new stores or making new product, but they pay no dividends. So my $10,000 in the final analysis is an interest-free loan to Bill Gates. This is the richest guy in the world. He needs a $10,000 loan from me, little Georgie Gordon. And he's going to take my $10,000 and invent some kind of a new thingy over here. And if things go right, Microsoft stock, which sells for $50, will sell for $60 next year. And if that's the case, then I make my money on what's called the bigger fool theory, that I bought it for 50 and sold it for 60. The guy that buys it for 60 is going to sell it for 70. The guy that buys it for 70 is going to sell it for 80. And this goes on forever, right? Like the housing market, you know, housing prices just go up forever. They never stop. They never go down. There's never any adjustment. I mean, I guess that's the way these people invest. Well, I'm not a professional investor, but I'm not brain dead. And Social Security takes 16% of everything you create and produce, and it's called your taxpayer identification number. And when you combine the 17% income tax with a 16% Social Security tax, that's 33%. Boys and girls, that's two taxes out of 14. Those two taxes take one-third of everything that you create and produce. So one day I woke up and I said, you know, if I didn't pay those two taxes, I could make one-third less money and live just as good. I could make one-third less and live just as well. And one day I figured that instead of making 60,000 this year and then striving to make 70,000 next year and then striving to make 80,000 the year after, if I was to go back to just weights and balances, dealing gold and silver, and instead of making 60,000 this year, next year I'll make 50,000, the year after 40, 30, 20, 10, you know, I'm down to less now than $8,400 a year. I make less than $8,400 a year in gold coin. I make less than the minimum filing requirement. And I took a look at the law, and the law says that if you make $8,400 a year, you got to report, you got to make a tax return. If you make under that, you don't. And then I looked in Title 31 of the U.S. Code, and it's in Section 5102. It says that the value of a Federal Reserve note, a clad coin, a gold or a silver coin, whatever's printed on it, is its face value. I didn't write these laws, boys and girls. I'm just here to report it to you. So now, if you want to beat City Hall on taxes, it's not what you do, it's what you don't do. And you don't participate in Social Security, and you don't participate in the income tax, because there's no profit, there's no money. There's only loss involved in income tax and Social Security. Those are bad investments. I recommend against. I always steer my students away from income tax and Social Security as being bad investments. I steer my students away from doctors, the American Medical Association, and insurance companies. They're all bad investments. And you people down on the Gulf Coast are trying to collect on your hurricane insurance because you were wiped out by the Gulf of Mexico storm surge instead of your house being blown down by the wind, and now you found out that the insurance company won't pay you because you don't have flood insurance. Hey, did you just get ripped off, boys and girls? Well, let's learn a lesson from that, and let's stop buying insurance because it violates the strict liability statute from the scripture. And let's stop paying income tax and Social Security, and let's get out from underneath these bad investments, and let's concentrate on practicing just weights and balances and gold and silver coin, and let's start making some intelligent investments and quit squirreling around with commercial paper. And it's just a wild new concept. But I thought I'd share with you that the beating of City Hall has to do with what you don't do as well as with what you do. Which just about brings us up to the end of the program again. God, you just run out of time every time you're having a good time, you run out of time. So let me remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective. The law school is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the internet, and The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. Now, The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Well, that's it. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.